Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
There were two killers.
Luke, that's your daddy.
The robot did it.
Snape was a good guy.
He really wasn't cheating.
They was in purgatory the whole time.
What? Everybody dies.
Verbal Kent is Kaiser Sose.
They killed old Yella.
Oh my god. Everybody in this Tyler Perry movie got AIDS.
Spoiler movie reviews.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Spoiled Movie Reviews on the Blackout Tips Premium Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rod, joined today by my co-host,
Karen.
And we are here to review a movie you've seen already, don't ever plan on seeing, or just don't care about us spoiling, because we do spoil the movies. And today's movie is Outside the Wire, the Netflix action movie. Starring Damon Idris and Anthony Mackie. We'll get into that. We'll review it. We also have some comments that you guys left on our other reviews that we'll be responding to and letting you know what we think after we rate this movie. We do pretty simple reviews here. We talk about what we like, what we didn't like. We score from 0 to 5, and then that's it. So let's get into this movie. It is Outside the Wire, directed by Michael Hafstrom. Not familiar with that name. Mm-hmm. He's done Evil, 1408, The Right, Days Like This, so nothing I've heard That's of, doesn't nope. seem like. Mm-mm. And like I said, stars Anthony Mackie and Damson Idris, who I know from Snowfall as the lead character there.
Okay.
A really great actor. And then a bunch of people not as familiar with. Mm-hmm. A bunch of those guys where you're like, oh yeah, Michael Kelly, I kind of know.
Yeah, I've seen you in something. Yes.
All right, well, the plot to this is when a disgraced drone pilot, Lieutenant Hart, played by Damson Idris, is sent into a deadly militarized zone, and after disobeying orders, he finds himself working for Captain Leo, Anthony Mackie, an android officer tasked with locating a doomsday device before insurgents do. Let's go ahead and get into what we liked about the film. Karen, give me something you liked.
I really enjoyed the tech. The technology was so neat, with the robot soldiers to the way Leo's body was designed. It was see-through and you could like see things functioning through it. I thought the tech was like top-notch. Like, they spent their time in showing you, ooh, look how cool this is.
Yeah, what's a Netflix movie without robot soldiers? I feel like so many of their movies, their sci-fi movies, have these robot soldiers that are, you know, they look really good in CGI. Like, they are knocking that out the park every time. Not just the technology for the soldiers though, but also like the technology for Anthony Mackie's character, Sergeant Leo. Mm-hmm. Who is an android. Captain Leo, who's an android, and like his body is almost see-through, other than like mm-hmm. just what they need for him to pass as human. And apparently it's like a secret project, like he's the only one that him and Eckert, I think, who's like a major military person, the only people that know he's an android. Mm-hmm. And that was really like that technology looked so cool, and then the way they advance it throughout the movie, and I just thought it was a neat twist, because in the trailer for the movie you don't know that. Mm-mm. And I just was seeing this off the strength of, I think those are two good actors, it stars two black people, let me check this movie out, see what it's really about. And of course it was a great surprise to be like, oh, one of them's an android. And then the plot twist that happens with him being an android, because as always, androids, like all artificial intelligence in sci-fi movies, eventually figures out humans are the problem and it's time to kill everybody to solve humanity. Mm-hmm. Which he definitely did a good job of. So I like that technology of all that stuff as well, and the special effects were just tremendous, with the battle scenes, the action was off the hook.
I also like the fact that they show the true casualties of war. Mm-hmm. Like, because with Hart being a drone pilot, he's seen things from a computer screen. Mm-hmm. So when he made the decision to shoot his drones, just blow shit up, he was doing it from a perspective of, this shit don't affect me. It was almost like he treated it like a video game. Mm-hmm. Even though he was doing his job, he was very good at his job. It was that, and the difference between that and actually being on the ground, that shit is completely different.
Yeah, they definitely wanted to land some type of message about drones and whatnot. We'll get into that a bit later, because I have some more thoughts about what the point of all that stuff was. But they definitely tried to get into like that, and I thought Damon Idris did a pretty good job of what he was given there. Another positive for me, Anthony Mackie. He was really good in this movie. He plays like he's an artificial intelligence, but it is so lifelike. It doesn't act like an artificial intelligence, and it's like, in a weird way, he's almost paying homage to Denzel Washington in Training Day.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's cussing. Damon Idris is obviously like a kind of a rookie in this world. He's never fought on the ground before. He doesn't know all the engagement and stuff like that. And some of the scenes were great.
The Marines call it running the gauntlet. His attacks in it are so frequent.
Good. All units be advised, we are proceeding outside the wire.
Pick up your rifle, Lieutenant. They attack, you're gonna need to shoot back.
I also love me a scene where they give you the name of the movie in the scene. We're going outside the wire. You're like, oh shit, that's what the name of the movie is. Turn and wink at the camera. So Karen, what else did you like?
I also going, and it's kind of Anthony Mackie, kind of everything encompassive of it all. I love the violence, because they was like, yes, he is an android / robot. Mm-hmm. And you go, okay, you really go okay, but when they show you what he can actually do, you're like, oh, this is why you're a robot. Like, mm-hmm. He was literally giving people the business. I love the choreography of the fight scenes, how quick and how fast and sharp he moves. You go, oh, you're moving like this because you are a machine.
Yeah, the action was so dope, because, you know, like, basically it was an Impossible White Man movie starring Damson Idris and Anthony Mackie. And Anthony Mackie goes full, like, Kung Fu Impossible White Man and Gun Fu and all this shit, because his action scenes were so good. Mm-hmm. I mean, him fighting those Russian gumps, or the mechs, suits,
he gave him the business.
Like, he was just blowing them all up, like shooting, kicking grenades into them and shit. Of course, him fighting all the humans, he was just cutting through them like butter. And his, like, specifically his action was just amazing in this movie. And to me, that's probably the dopest thing about this movie, was just the action scenes and the hand-to-hand combat from all of it.
Yeah, and it reminds me of, this is what a live action anime would look like. Like, if you mm-hmm. was to take an anime and go, oh, we're gonna take, you know, Boruto or Naruto or one of them, or you know, yeah, Dragon Ball Z, it would be similar to this.
Well, I treat a lot of stuff like that, you know, a lot of stuff, sci-fi, Netflix stuff, I treat like anime, and it really helps me to process it easier, because I'm mm-hmm. able to be more forgiving.
Yes.
Because I think when I treat it more like this is a real live action movie, sometimes I can have expectations that it's almost impossible to live up to.
Right.
But yeah, so I thought he was great in it. I think I have another moment with him. Another thing I would add too is the movie was kind of funny.
Yes, I like, say that too. Was
it's like a buddy cop movie, and Anthony Mackie was doing most of the he was doing almost all the heavy lifting on the comedy, and he's supposed to be an artificial intelligence, but I mean, he was hilarious, he was irreverent, all that stuff. Let me see if I play this clip.
I was created to simulate one to the exact necessity to do my damn job. I'm a combat soldier. But I also have the ability to break the rules in certain circumstances, just like you.
What kind of circumstances?
In extreme situations, I have the ability to act of my own volition.
And is this an extreme situation?
Why don't you ask me what you really want to ask?
I know. How comes you're so like us?
Sentient.
Emotional.
So you equate humanity with emotion?
I equate it with fault. People are stupid, habitual, and lazy. Their emotions lead to mistakes.
Maybe humans aren't emotional enough, Lieutenant.
So like that, like he was just so good in that role. And it's your turn.
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
you go ahead.
Oh, you finished? You just stopped in the middle of your city.
Oh, well, I think I was about to go on to another point, which is I really love the twist in the movie. Being that he's an AI, and you know, as which is kind of predictable, he decides to turn on humanity and stop all war by shooting nukes into the U.S. and essentially saying that humans aren't emotional enough. They feel no empathy because of the way they wage war with machines. They kill each other willy-nilly, and there's no real understanding because Americans haven't lived on that side of the war. They've only been on the side of sending bombs towards people. Mm-hmm. And so he's gonna bomb America. That's gonna make America recognize that they do need peace and they need to stop it, you know, going at like Russia and invading these other countries and sending drones and all this shit. So like that was his plan. I mean it's a little bit, you know, like I said, it's kind of that thing where he believed it as a character, so you just go with it. But would it really work in this world? Who cares really? We, you know, we're not gonna find out,
right?
But it was interesting because he couldn't break his artificial intelligence without this plan, and the plan he set into motion was getting Damson Idris's character all the way to, you know, wherever they were located, demilitarized zone. And because he had questionable judgment when he droned that vehicle that had a launcher in it, and it went and disobeyed a direct order, because he had that questionable judgment, he was like, I'm basically using you to justify me breaking the rules. I'm gonna say you did it. And that was the part that I thought was interesting, where I was like, okay, that's the twist I didn't see coming. Which these Netflix movies almost never have a twist I don't see mm-hmm. coming.
Hey, straightforward.
Yeah, it's like, these are the scripts that no one else wanted. Like this, that was a twist where I went, you know what? That's actually a pretty dope twist of, you know, the machine was plotting the whole time, but it still had to break its protocols in order to do all this shit, and it just used him to break those protocols. Is it contrived? Sure. Is it a little bit murky? You know, there wasn't like a direct, like, these are the seven protocols or whatever, but it made sense to me.
It did. And something I also liked, mm-hmm. I liked the fact that the two main characters were black. Mm-hmm. Because the way I put it like this, because the way I viewed this literally was like a generic script that literally anybody could have played, and it was like, let's put two black men in these roles. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that they went out the way to go, we're gonna put two black men in this role where you normally would have seen two white dudes. You seen like a Tom Cruise or something, you know, somebody else play roles like this. And so I appreciate that. I find it just the diversity of going, we're gonna mix it up a little bit. And actually allowing them to be black, like their blackness shined, you know, through it. You didn't go thinking, oh man, they phoned it in. It's like, no, I'm black.
And Anthony Mackie and his stud people really did, I mean, they did the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they had the action stuff. Even Damson Idris and whatnot, while he didn't have as many action scenes, like as far as like him doing a lot of action, you know, it did kind of like, it did, yeah, it definitely piqued my interest because it was two black actors that I recognized too, especially.
Yeah, and also, all jokes aside, when I seen this, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, he gonna kill Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. Like I immediately was like, that Marvel shit gonna be flames.
Oh yeah, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he was also in the second season. Oh man, why am I drawing a blank? But this show that I really liked on Netflix. So I mean, he's been doing some sci-fi mm-hmm. action for a while now. Let's see. Anything else for likes?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. I want to say. Yeah. Yeah. That was about it. Well, what about dislikes? You have any dislikes?
And mine might sound silly, but I actually would have liked a flashback of the girlfriend, other than
yes.
just talking about her as
that's
an
what I wrote down too.
Object. Mm-hmm. I would, but like this, even if you wouldn't have done a flashback at the end,
a phone call.
I would have liked the last scene to be him mm-hmm. showing up at the house. You know, like, you don't even have yeah. to give her a line. You know, I would have loved more than her just to be a picture.
Yeah, I think with all the technology shit they had in this, they could have did a little bit more with that. My main thing as far as like a dislike of this movie, it is a little too long, just a little bit, hour 54 minutes. But my main thing is the morality of it and the message it was trying to convey, I don't think it really did. Mm. Which was this idea that like drone warfare, mechanized military intervention and the lack of human interaction has turned us into this like, you know, unempathetic society when it comes to war. And I'm not saying I'm against that, but I don't think the movie made the case as well, because your main protagonist is an artificial intelligence, which is us using something to wage war that's not a human. And then the other thing is like, you got these Gumps, which are these mech robots that are in the movie. Drones play a big part of the movie. At the end, they have to drone the nuclear facility to keep it from going off. The big thing was that they were gonna send nukes into the U.S. to stop war, which made, you know, makes no sense that the U.S. would simply shoot nukes. It would be mutually assured destruction. It wouldn't be a peaceful, it wouldn't bring about some peaceful era that these people were talking about, or that the AI was talking about. So there was some weird stuff with that. And then like the kind of like how he got around his protocols, they don't really line it out in detail. They just kind of like go, you know, I'm just gonna say you said this. And you know, Damson Idris' character cutting out the way they were monitoring the thing, the AI and all this stuff, like, which I thought was cool, but this is like a lot of like kind of like, eh, don't worry about them details, you know, it's, you get the gist of it,
right?
So I think that was kind of, you know, interesting or whatever. But yeah, that would be my only real knock. And I had written down what you said too, is it was weird to have that black woman in a picture, but not, if you went as far as to have a picture, they could have, if you're gonna make a 2-hour movie, you could have had a scene or two, even if it was just him talking to her through the technology of like some FaceTime type shit.
Yes.
You know, something like that. Oh, and then another thing, it kind of goes back to my last point about the morality. The stuff where it's like he's trying to save the hostages and the children that are orphans, and this woman is like, you orphan these children, but then she shoots a man in the fucking point blank range in a middle of a market
with witnesses.
Yeah, like it's like weird moral, it's a weird morality in this movie that I'm like, we're against war. These children are orphans of war. Also, I'm finna kill this nigga right here in front of everybody. I'm like, wait, what
only violence for my causes.
Yeah, you know, like at least the AI was like, listen, I'm killing a few people to save everybody. But yeah, Damson Idris character was all over the place, because like, I realize now there are people in these war zones and I shouldn't be bombing everybody. I'm like, okay, all right, this is a little too cliche for me. I don't know what I'm supposed to take from this movie morally. So,
and my thing, and this is just a desire of upping up the notch of impossible white man.
Mm-hmm.
I would have, instead of Harp having that pointless conversation with his heads, mm-hmm. where they was like, you know, why'd you come back here, sir? You know, that speech, mm-hmm. and then he goes off and does his own, and you know, to kill him. I would have rather him just went rogue and mm-hmm. was like, they already believe I'm dead. And once he realized the truth and got away from them, just be mad,
mm-hmm.
and turn around and just go and try to kill him himself. You know right. what I'm saying? Like I think that would have gave Harp more action scenes.
Yeah.
You know, versus the 5 minutes we go through the chain of command, which I thought
he
was
to go meet everybody, talk
right.
to everybody.
Right,
yeah.
And then they got to give him permission. You know, go, soldier! You know.
And then this weird, because in those scenes, he's like, I don't got time to explain this. And they're like, well, all right, then we got your back. I'm like, well, if he don't have time to explain, why are we explaining any of it?
Yes, yes. Yeah. I would have loved for him to truly went rogue
mm-hmm.
and killed him. And just left him there.
Yeah, I think it would have been dope to have like that man versus machine, almost Terminator type thing.
Yes, okay.
A little bit longer as opposed to what ended up happening. But yeah, you know, and I know it was about time to wrap the movie up, so I get it. But yeah. All right, Karen. I think that's it for dislikes.
Mm-hmm.
0 to 5, what would you give it?
I'm going to give this a 4.5. I actually had a really, really good time watching this movie. This movie was a lot of fun to me.
Yeah, I would give it a 4.5 as well, especially considering, like, if you look at it as an impossible white man movie mm-hmm. and, you know, this at-home action movie, I thought it was really cool. Maybe it was the new TV making everything look great.
And pop, right.
Yeah, but, it, you know, it really felt to me for the first time in a while, like, oh yeah, this is why you go to the movies. Like mm-hmm. this is one of those things that made me feel like, you know, there should have been trailers before this, you know, type yes. of movie. So
I wonder if that's something they're going to start like self-promoting within it itself, because you know mm. you have the commercials, but to just be like, you know, we know people miss this, let's, you know, throw, you know, it don't even have to be, you know, the standard 20 minutes, just throw a 1 or 2, be like, hey, if you like this, you might like this.
Right. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, now you get them on YouTube and shit.
Right.
We had comments from the last reviews that we did.
Woohoo!
Let's get into them. So we had comments on our Wonder Woman review. I don't think we've had read these.
Mm-mm.
Trojan Scooter says, I thoroughly enjoyed this film. It was a great change of pace for a superhero comic book film. I caught myself looking at Kristen Wiig like she got cakes, especially when Barbara got confident.
Mm-hmm.
Like Karen, I enjoyed the fight scenes and the grounded nature of them. You have a film centered on women, and the producers allowed the choreographers to make the fights look more realistic. Even like the rom-com elements, as a reader of the Wonder Woman in the comics, specifically Dark Knight's Death Metal, is that Diana's center mission revolves around the heroes and villains knowing the full truth and accepting things. On the other side, the screenwriters could have done a better job of telling the story and building him up. I guess the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they didn't develop the lore of the Dreamstone very well. Finally, did either you catch the Easter egg regarding Star Blossom? I didn't.
Mm-mm.
I'm not that huge into the DC world to pick up on stuff like that. Jamel says, I agree with you guys. Review, something that was distracting for me was the choice they made of Pedro's son. Maybe it was just my nigga eyes, but did that kid seem Asian to y'all? In my Larry David voice, as always, peace.
He did!
I thought it was an Asian kid.
He adopted.
He was?
No, I thought he was adopted.
I just thought they didn't explain it.
His mama was Asian.
Yeah, they just never, because I don't think we ever see the mom, and mm-hmm. then they never really explain anything, so I didn't know. I figured it wasn't that important, but
yeah, because they didn't emphasize on it.
It was interesting.
So you were right.
Saying like Agnes says, Patty Jenkins is a good filmmaker, but Wonder Woman 84 just ain't in the cards. Before I talk about the original as a jumping off point, I feel like the writers did everything but make this film or its characters nuanced. Shit is more Cuban B than well half baked Cuban B. Rather than explain things, the exposition never finds a resolution to these problems. The CGI is indefensible. There's no excuse for how poorly rendered or not cleaned up certain set pieces are. Like, at least fix up the background so we can believe they're in DC or Egypt. Wonder Woman set pieces suffer greatly for it too, with bad close-ups and action scenes specifically. Yeah, I wonder, something about this, and I mean obviously I haven't read or heard any of this, some of the choices they made in this movie felt like they were trying to save money or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, specifically with the music licensing and then some of the action scenes and the way they were filmed, it's like, mm-hmm. did they run out of money in the budget? Did they realize like, we're not gonna get a theater release? Because some of it just felt and looked so damn cheap.
Yes, and it's one of those things where it's very frustrating, because all jokes aside, why the woman movie is the one with the woman director, y'all don't have a lot of them, y'all turn around and y'all want to cut short like the last one, y'all didn't give her the budget for the third act. It's like, come on now, like, I know, you know, for her that shit got to get old, like, why is she always the one to get the short end of the stick when it comes to shit like this?
Kristen Wiig to me is the best thing here and does the best work as Barbara Minerva / Cheetah. Her scenes have the best flow. Matter of fact, when she's whooping Wonder Woman's ass in the White House, that looked very good for the most part, giving one of the film's foes some conviction. The dialogue near the end of the scene was nonsensical bile and that about whose humanity, but Wiig carried it. I even like Pedro Pascal's Maxwell Lord, even though his role literally didn't amount to much, unfortunately. But just be a dude who scams people and got the power to scam people's life forces. Chris Pine is fine, but he didn't need to be here. The Trevor Dying stuff was resolved in the first film. I wouldn't mind a cameo, but to make that a huge part of the film, it's a flow killer. Yeah, I really think that was terrible. Speaking of flow killers, how Wonder Woman wins both encounters with Cheetah and Lord. Both scenes are so badly shot, engulfed the whole sequence in darkness like the third act of the first film. It's all unfortunate. Yeah, it's really sad too, because like, you know, this was Patty Jenkins' turn at the helm and these were her choices, which were very much like the end of the first movie, as far as the way it looked. Not saying the plot was the same, mm-hmm. but damn, it was kind of sad. It was like, damn, you still went with the grayscale fight at the end.
DC loved that grayscale, and that shit is not cool because you can't see. And I don't mind stuff being dark, like, I'm cool with that. But if you're gonna have shit dark, other shit needs to pop so that you can see it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when I did a review with 4-Hour Nerds and talked about the film, DJ Ben Amin brought up something I had seen online, but, you know, something that I kind of rolled my eyes at and did, I thought was kind of whack, but didn't really, I just like, I guess this is an homage to the 80s, but, you know, and I'm not gonna phrase it as harshly as people were saying, where they were saying mm-hmm. it was rape. But the idea of them, Steve Trevor taking over this man's body and then Diana having sex with this random dude whose body couldn't consent to it because he wasn't in control of his body was weird. It was a mm-hmm. very weird choice
mm-hmm.
in the middle of all
that
this
was
shit.
Their way of bringing him back. What if you had to go through all that? And I'm trying to find it. You literally should not have brought him back.
It just didn't make sense.
Put him in a flashback and call it a day.
Yeah, it didn't make sense. And just, of course, Wonder Woman, this powerful woman, still pining over this man who she barely knew for
yes.
2 weeks in 60 years ago felt very weird.
Yeah,
you know?
Just centering it around both, you know, him and the villain, around men. You go, if this is supposed to be woman centric, Cheetah should have been the villain, the
right.
end. Like, there was literally no need for this other person.
Now, as for the first Wonder Woman, I still like it. Also, I also maintain, it's still one of the best films in DCEU. However, I can also admit it got this bare minimum good for you, Timmy Pass. Scenes do have flow, but others lack weight. Could have used more light, too. That being said, still a good film, and Patty Jenkins deserves a pass for the most part. She got to eat this L for 84 since she has more naming contributions on this film than the first film. You produced, wrote, and directed this. Can't give you a pass no matter what. You made a titular character in her film boring, and that's unacceptable. Even worse, the film has no stakes, and both bad guys just get to go on with their own lives as if they didn't do shit. The more I think about things here, I get more upset at it, and I'm going to stop writing this so I can move on from this disappointing film. Yeah, I'm with you, man. I really think it was a letdown. And some bad decisions were made.
Mm-hmm.
Classic R&B lover says, thank you for reviewing Wonder Woman 1984. I was waiting to hear your thoughts because it's clear that we have entered the pile on and dig your feet heel in stage of the internet discourse when it comes to this film. The pile on people are slamming it to just be part of the clique. The dig your heels in people are defending it based on their belief that a pro Marvel anti DC conspiracy is afoot. Yeah, I saw some people tweeting like
what?
That. I saw somebody on my Facebook page who I had to mute her ass because I was like, this isn't some, like, the government didn't make people not like this movie or right. DC movies or like Marvel movies. Like, the shit is better. I don't really know why you have a problem with that or what controversy thing you're stirring up. It's just weird to be like, let me find, oh, you Marvel people, y'all like everything. I'm like, it's, we're going to the same theater you're going to. No one signed up for like Marvel versus DC. I don't, you know.
Yeah, and you know, and a lot of times most people go to all of them anyway, so yeah. You know, most of the time people that watch the Marvel movies watch the DC movies. Most people that watch DC movies gonna watch the Marvel movies, so everybody's watching these movies for the
yeah.
most part.
Yeah, you don't get like a, you know, you don't get a prize.
No, come on, they're not paying you.
So it's just kind of weird, but people are really doing that with these films. And I, you know, us, we not into that.
Mm-mm. And a lot of that, I think, is that stan culture. They do it with phones, they do it with gaming consoles, and you know, and it's done rolled this way over into the movies.
Yeah, like my goal is never to pow on the film, although, you know, mm-hmm. as a joke, as a comedian, I don't mind roasting something or joking about it, but
right.
when we do these reviews, I try not to do that because I want our reviews to be honest and fresh and earnest.
Yes.
And not just how hard can we hit this film that we don't like.
Right.
I appreciate you and Karen honestly critiquing the film, looking at the totality of the movie rather than the selected bits and pieces that fit your agenda. As someone who saw and liked the first Wonder Woman movie, the trailers I saw in the theater made it look bad at worst and cheesy at best. I was curious if that might have been intentional, a la the Brady Bunch movie that chose to poke loving fun at the series. Seemingly, this was not the case, and that's unfortunate. Hopefully, the filmmakers get it right the third time around. Yeah, they already greenlit a third one, so...
Yeah, because yeah. it literally... broke HBO Max. Mm-hmm. Like, when we watched Christmas Day, we had to reboot that shit like several times because there was so many people watching it. And as far as that was concerned, they're winning, and in their mind they feel like if the theater would have been open, we would have made our money.
Yep. Let's see. Sandler Agony. Wait, hold on. Oh, Soul. We got some comments for Soul. Sandler Agony writes in, thoroughly enjoyed Soul and thought it just about hit on all the things for a Pixar release. I saw this with family and we all really dug it. As for people who are having issues with the blackness in the film, it's textbook projection in my opinion. Like a lot of things on social media related to films, has a level of projection that's unhealthy, and even as someone who critiques films, I simply refuse to use an insecurity or a trigger as acceptable criticism. If it's not related to the film at hand and it's still something that is in one's head canon, I'll just consider that as an individual problem, full stop. Yeah, I have to do that sometimes with a lot of shit, you know, and maybe sometimes our reviews sound a little bit callous, but I don't know, man. I can't be doing that much projection on everything. Like, mm-mm. this happened to me, or mm-hmm. I don't like this person, and now I can't like this film. I just won't see a film.
Right.
If I truly couldn't stand an actor that much, I would just not see the film, man. Mm-hmm. I don't understand this shit of watching the film with this agenda to hate on it.
Mm-hmm.
The blackness here is pure. The characters are memorable. So are the lessons here. It's kind of a better Inside Out, in my opinion. I'll definitely watch it again.
Yes, it is similar to Inside Out.
Classic R&B lover says, hi, Rod and Karen. Sadly, the Twitter fingers of the world have taken over the discussion surrounding Soul. I love that it took us so long to get to these comments, because doesn't it feel like that was a million years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what they moved on to, probably some other bullshit, but thank God, right?
Yes.
I'm not saying the film is perfect. What film is? I am, however, saying that the attack against the film has become, in my opinion, the latest example of a thing they can attack just for the sake of attacking. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you watch any of the trailers, it was clear the black characters either died or was hovering near death, hence the title, and would be on a journey. But let's not let the obvious things that were shown out to you going in get in the way of your fake woke agenda.
Right.
I, for one, love the jazz, the colors, the presentation of the black characters and the relationships, and the overall message of finding the everyday joys in life. It's unfortunate the social media crew can't find enjoyment in anything. Sadly, these will be the same people complaining when Pixar, Disney, etc. decide to finding a place for black people characters in a project simply isn't worth the hassle. Yeah, lucky for us, I think Pixar's in it for real.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think the hate on it is one of those things where it was just a moment on social media.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets nominated or not nominated or wins awards or doesn't win awards, you'll see a lot of black people who are like, yo, I supported this film. What the fuck?
Yeah, that, and also I think that it actually broke records for like the most streamed show ever. Like it literally did, and Wonder Woman did numbers. This I think it came out the same day Wonder Woman did, if I'm not mistaken, or a few days before, whatever. But they were both came out around the same time, and so it's one of these things where a lot of people really enjoyed Soul. And so it's one of those things where you kind of have to just ignore those people, because it's one of those things you go, oh, y'all hating just to hate. I actually love this movie, and a lot of people love, and I hope it goes on and wins awards and all that shit and get praised so that other animation people can go, oh, it's money in this.
Yeah, and Twitter reactions almost always skew towards bad anyway. They're very rare that they truly love and go up for something, and almost every time when they do is very temporary, and immediately people are right back to like, and this is the problem with this type of thing and the people who like it. So anyway, we can't scream for inclusion and then call everything racist. Even if you feel that way, you can point out the problems in a way that doesn't slant a filmmaker. State what you liked and then explain what you took issue with without absent the vitriol. Yeah, the thing is, that's assuming people are being earnest, and many of these cases they're not. I think the agenda against Tina Fey is so huge with certain type of black people that they were like, it was just a collision of the certain, like the woke blacks who hate Tina Fey and have for a long time. They were trying to find a problem with it. The hoteps who think every, you know, 12 different ways to find like how everything is racist and fucked up. And I think a lot of that shit was just them pushing for clout, and the movie was collateral damage. Iman writes in, hey Rod, hey Karen, thanks for reviewing this movie. I enjoyed it. I watched it twice, probably helped a lot. First with my daughter, then with my husband, and each watch saw new meaning in it. I agree with Karen that the colors and visuals in this movie are great. This is the first movie where they made the Earth look more awesome than the off-world location. Thinking about the latter, maybe that was the point. Life can be so beautiful if you see each day with fresh eyes. I mean the layers. My daughter, 9-year-old, really loved it and understood the messages in the movie, and I think this is 100% a family film. It's not just for kids or adults. It's definitely a conversation starter, no shade, but so far only people I see who say it's not for kids don't have kids,
right?
LOL. Yeah, I mean I won't take it as shade, but yeah, I think it's a kids movie for sure, but it's not just for kids. You know what I mean? And I think it's really weird for people to take it and be like, I'm only gonna see it through an adult lens. And most of those people that do that are super critical of the movie.
Yes,
like it's for adults and that's why we need to talk about it in this way. And I'm like, all the movies from Pixar are kind of for adults in that case.
Yes.
And I don't know why the fuck this movie need to be different because a black person is the lead. To me, I don't see this movie any different than Up, you know.
Yeah.
Or Inside Out, or like a lot of these movies.
Coco.
Yeah, Toy Story even. Like a lot of these movies are like, this is for adults to remember when they were kids. Mm-hmm. Or to think about things from a kid's point of view. And yeah, it was like, you know, and I don't take it as shade. We don't have kids, and I'm not saying a kid can't understand this movie, because I thought it was pretty fucking simple.
Mm-hmm.
And a kid can understand this movie, you know. That was really weird to see people try to turn this into this, like, and I think they did it just to justify being so harsh to the movie,
right?
Because I remember being like, y'all niggas doing this on a movie for kids? Y'all can't turn it off a little bit for this
just once?
Like you got to come at this shit like it was motherfucking you know, directed by Steven Spielberg for adults.
Right.
I really appreciate and think how clever how they bypassed any religious dogma by not showing the afterlife or exactly when a new soul enters a body. I agree that they should have given us that Lisa call. I was waiting for that after the credit scene, but instead we got Terry. Yeah, I did want that Lisa call. My biggest criticism is that they spent too much time in the great before, and it's a big lull for me. Black Earth was lit. That barbershop scene was everything. Yes, I am too, and feeling that fine ass barber. Men need to stop being bothered that women crushed on animated characters. It's not just because we're stuck in the house. Yeah, doesn't everybody crush on animated characters? Don't ever let men try to tell y'all to chill on liking animated characters. Like, that's a whole industry.
Come on, whole industries of TNA.
Right. Love y'all, and thanks again, Amon. Thank you.
Thank you.
The last one was Fatale, which I reviewed by myself, but I figured I'd go ahead and do the review comment here. Mm-hmm. Celeste said, what a ride. I'm a fan of these black executive fan fiction movies, so I enjoyed this one. You did a good job of covering all the ridiculousness, and it really made me laugh. I give Fatale a slight edge over Fatal Affair. Oh, for sure, for sure, for sure. It's not close to me. Because at least the two main characters actually had sex, right? I mean, this nigga was like, I sniffed some pussy. I'm about to kill her whole family. Like, bruh. What are you doing? You're taking it too far, Omar Epps, or whichever one was in that. All right, that's it for this episode. Thank y'all for listening to Spoiler Movie Reviews. Mm-hmm. We'll be back when I can watch some more movies, or when Karen watches some more movies with me. Mm-hmm. And we'll review these movies. So until then, peace.
Peace.